This is episode 44 of the Reading Coves podcast. If you're a book lover who may be interested in joining our online book club, please visit our website at thereadingcove.com. For July 2014, we're discussing Blink of an Eye by Ted Dekker. So hello, this is Millennia in Florida.
Roberta in Georgia.
And I'm Cheryl in Arizona.
And the three of us are here today to discuss our 164th Cove pick, Blink of an Eye, by Ted Dekker. And it was chosen by Cove member Lynette, who lives in Georgia. So what did you guys think of Blink? I really liked it in the beginning.
Just the beginning?
Yes. It started off really good, and I was like thinking, okay, this is great. But then after the first quarter, I felt like it fizzled out big time.
Get out, really?
It did. I got bored. I mean, it was repetitive with them being on the run. And then Seth's, you know, seeing into the future just started to feel very gimmicky.
Oh, okay. I was kind of fascinated by it because his IQ was so high.
And yeah, that was really interesting.
Yeah.
That was good.
And his seeing into the future kept expanding from, like, you know, maybe 3 minutes into the future to 3 hours. And I'm like,
mm-hmm. And then it was very sporadic when he would be able to see into the future. It just felt like a plot device after
right.
a while.
Well, actually,
it lost the novelty.
Yeah, well, it kind of bordered on the amount of sleep he had and the run itself, you know, the way they were running and running away from all these people. Then he started losing it when he went toward the end.
Yeah, he goes to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And just so conveniently, oh, you know, now we have to sit around and wait until I can see 3 hours into the future.
And we have to wait. You know, we have to wait 7 hours for him to do that. And that's when it kind of got tedious and slow to me, when he was in Saudi Arabia. But I thought overall the book was really a fast-paced and decent thriller to the extent where I'm looking up this guy, too.
Right.
Ted Dekker.
I enjoyed it. I guess I didn't have real high expectations, and I think I was in the mood for, as Cheryl said, a fast-paced thriller, and I sort of overlook some of these other things if I'm enjoying the overall story and I feel like it's moving along. And
right.
Granted, you know, I didn't give an A because there were spots where it kind of slowed down a little bit where I thought they could have trimmed a little bit to make it, you know, stay on the same fast pace.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the idea of someone who is really almost too smart for his own good. And then I also like the look at the different culture. I mean, we've learned more over time because this book was written 10 plus years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good to see another culture and how they looked at things that were so much different from our culture, both religion and philosophy and even questioning the existence of God, as many people have done over the years. So I like the authors using this scenario now for the blazing guns or, you know, fast-paced chases. But I like the idea that he made people sort of think about, well, maybe this is possible. It makes you think a little bit more out of the box, no matter what your beliefs are.
Yeah, that's true. And I think the setup was great. When we meet Miriam in Saudi Arabia and she witnesses her friend get drowned and, you know, she finds out she's got to marry this guy and, you know, her friend talks her into fleeing. And then we meet Seth at the university and we get to know him. I was really intrigued there. When they actually meet, it began to get shaky for me because when Seth just, you know, he sees what happens in the bathroom and he goes into the bathroom to save her, and then immediately he becomes Superman. It's like he just dives right into being the protector of this woman. And it's like, why? I mean, I feel like I needed a little more for why he would just start risking his life to go on the run to save and protect this woman that he didn't even know. He just saw. You know?
Yeah, but maybe that was his destiny, as he was saying. Well, no. I mean, my late mother was a Presbyterian, and one of the main tenets of their beliefs, at least it used to be from what she told me, is this predestination. So she would have told you, oh yeah, this is just was what was meant to be for them. So that's why it happened. So, but at the same time, yeah, I could see from a different point of view, it would be a little bit like, yeah, well, this is like the plot point, but you know, you think, well, could this have happened as opposed to some other way of happening?
I think something simple thrown in there to back it up or to give it a better foundation. Like, you know, maybe she begs him for his help. Maybe, you know, she says, can you help me?
Right.
And that would have been enough of a reason. But just to immediately invest yourself in becoming her protector when, you know, these Saudi Arabian underlords are, you know, coming after her for bloody murder. It's like, you know, really?
Well,
there just wasn't enough reason there. But anyway, it didn't ruin it for me, but I just thought, you know, it didn't give them a solid foundation, the relationship, a very solid foundation. It was just like, okay, there, you know, this is happening because the plot says it does.
Right.
And then, you know, they go on the run and, you know, some of the ways that they elude, you know, these people coming after them was really interesting. And then they go to Vegas. And that was cool because, you know, he could win all night.
Oh, yeah. That would be great.
Seeing into the future.
I think eventually they, as they do with these so-called card counters, they catch on to you and escort you out. But he didn't push it long enough for them to, you know, escort him out.
Right. But, I mean, how could they even prove that he was doing anything underhand?
And they couldn't because it was roulette.
Exactly.
Even, you know, I was just giving an example, these people they've let out before because they figure they have some kind of special talent that they just can't let people, you know, win that much.
Milk them dry.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, so that part was cool, you know, them in Vegas and everything. And I think that after that, that's kind of when it would flip back to Omar and the other one, Hilal or whatever, the ones that are coming after them and, you know, scheming and stuff. I kind of just got over that. It's like, okay, we get it. They're coming after them. And it just kept repeating that cycle.
Well, then,
so I feel like the book could have been slimmed down there in that middle, you know?
Well, that was when Samir came to the Vegas and she trusted him and took her back to Madrid and then, you know, tricked her into going back to Saudi Arabia.
I mean, I get that too, because he felt like he was being loyal
to Allah.
Right.
Right. And
I mean, it's crazy.
I was dumbfounded by that she could be so blind to trust him.
Well,
but
I don't see why she wouldn't have.
For so many years.
Yeah, but why wouldn't she have trusted him? She wouldn't have. She didn't expect him to do that at all.
I mean, that was out of character for him because she'd known him since she was little.
Right.
But exactly.
He wasn't telling her anything that they were going to do. You know, he just...
I know, that was odd when he was, like, being very distant.
I would have been very leery about that and everything, especially from what she learned from her freedom in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And that really, really kind of dumbfounded me that, oh, my God, she really did get tricked to going back into Saudi Arabia. And she ended up marrying Omar again. And I was just bored after that because I thought it was very tedious that they, you know, prayed for an hour and that Omar could just say, I divorce you.
And they're divorced.
And
yeah.
They're divorced. And I was like...
In front of a witness.
In front of a witness, which was the father. And I thought that was just like totally crazy.
That is biblical because they do have, you know, instances where the man could say to the woman three times, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, you know, like I said, in front of a witness and, you know, you're not married anymore. So.
Yeah. It's just a, you know, a matter of what people believe and what they choose to live by. And so I think by the end, you know, I kind of saw that, okay, Seth is going to come and rescue her. So that played out pretty much the way I expected it to.
Mm-hmm.
It got a little exciting, you know, when he forced Omar to divorce her because it was like the last thing he was going to do.
And how he tackled him or whatever.
Tackled him and made him say it.
Yeah,
you know?
He just saw in the future how he was going to do it. And he did it, you know, which cracked me up. And that he controlled Omar much as he did. And also the fact that he put doubt into Miriam's head about Allah, you know, as opposed to praying to Jesus, the prophet, and all that other stuff, he totally changed her point of view.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting that when she fled and came to the States, that professor actually ratted her out. I thought, okay, she's a professor of Middle Eastern studies and she doesn't know she shouldn't do that.
I don't believe that either, but maybe she saw the $500,000 in the bag.
Right.
You know, I was just really dumbfounded, and that's what possessed Seth, I think, to rescue her, because he saw her with Hillary and Hillary seemed off to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he had started having those little clairvoyant things
before.
The day before, the 2 days before. And it was quite interesting how it started up, I thought.
That was strange that she did that. I would have liked her to explain herself. But we didn't get a scene with Hillary explaining why she reported her.
I know, that was pretty low. They said, especially after she knew what happened to a woman in Saudi Arabia or the Middle East in general.
Yeah, and Miriam explained to her that she's running for her safety or, you know, to avoid whatever. And, I mean, for her to trick her, she could have at least told her, well, no, you know, I have to report that you're here or whatever. But she didn't tell her anything. She just kind of did it like she was working for the Saudi Arabian government or something.
I don't know.
Yeah. But she trusted Hillary because she took her class a couple of years beforehand when she was in Berkeley for studying.
And it's interesting, Lynette, who picked this book, she posted the author's About Me page, and I was taking a quick look at it, and it says, you know, he studied religion and philosophy in college. You know, that's interesting, because you see that in spades in this book, at least, where he's exploring religion in a really philosophical way.
But I was fascinated by his childhood as well. He grew up in Indonesia. He's actually an author that I would read again.
I wouldn't mind trying one of his more recent books, because I do like the way it started. I like those types of thrillers that are, you know, pretty unconventional.
Yeah, I think I'd like to try a more recent book to, you know, compare and everything. And sometimes writers sort of mature as they go along and refine their craft, so to speak, so that they get a little bit better and edit things out and stay more on point and everything. So I would like to read another one, because I did like this one, but I could see maybe other newer ones would even be better.
Yeah, like maybe the pacing and the plotting would be tighter,
right,
and a little bit better paced.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see, you know, what the rest of the group thinks. I mean, we've had some kind of, like, some mixed reviews. Like, some people are saying they were having a hard time sticking it with it. And who else said they enjoyed it?
Well, I know I enjoyed it. I don't know what the grade you gave it. I gave it a B plus.
I gave it a C.
You gave it a C.
I gave it a
B plus.
Me too.
Candy just hated
Candy,
it.
Candy, I think, had given it a D.
She gave it a D.
Yeah.
Nick was having problems with it. Nicole. Nancy was having problems with it.
Yeah.
There was a whole bunch of people.
Lori was saying she, too.
She,
I don't remember
what
grade she gave
which
it.
Which I couldn't understand. I was like, wait a second. This was really pretty good.
Yeah, but it kind of flagged in the middle there. I have to. That's what I mean. I guess leading up to when they get to Vegas and she goes off with Samir.
Yeah.
It was kind of repetitive, and that's when I was feeling...
Yeah, that's when
like bored with it.
It slowed down when she left with Samir, and I was getting a little bored.
No, I think it slowed down for me before that.
Oh,
when
yeah.
It just kept going back to, you know, the guys in Saudi Arabia, and then back to the State Department, and, you know, it just kind of started to drag.
What did you think about the church scene? They woke up in the church parking lot, and they went to the church and started preaching and everything.
And
I thought it was that
they were found, but it was really Sunday or something, right? It was like
Sunday
service.
Yeah, and he went in there and challenged the word of God. And
right.
I was just totally fascinated by what was going on. And they managed to get out of there before the police got there, too. I thought that was really cool. And then the way they got into Vegas was really funny.
Every move they made,
yeah,
they were right behind them.
But what they did to get across the border into Nevada, slashing the tires and making the car a wreck, Miriam driving, which was hysterical, and then stealing.
I know. She just learned to drive. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
She learned to drive in 2 seconds, and now she's a pro.
And she's supposed to be talking about the Lord of the Rings, but she kept saying that there are orcs following her. Arcs, not orcs. And I just thought that was funny as hell. And then on top of it, to see her best friend, Sitka,
yeah,
when she married that old crone who's like 60 years old, and she's 15, and she actually refused him in their married life and actually injured him. But the audacity that the father, you know, put her in the pool and drowned her.
And drowned her own father.
Because
it was like bringing shame on the family. It's like, you know, a brother who kills his sister because she, you know, so-called shames the family.
Right. That was just so shocking to me. I couldn't believe it. It's barbaric to me.
Yeah. And then Omar forces Miriam to watch it to send her a message like, don't do that to me, because this is what will happen to you.
Yeah. Was it Omar who sent her? Because
Omar is the one who
didn't know she was going to be married at that time.
No, she didn't. But it was Omar who arranged for her to witness
the
father drowning Sita.
Oh, I didn't realize that, because I just thought it was so, you know, barbaric and crazy. And
because it really was about whether or not she was going to live, which I think that kind of took some of the steam out of it for me, too, because I never really doubted that she would survive it. I never felt like she or Seth were really in danger.
Yeah, well, I mean, I saw the two of them hooking up at the end.
Yeah,
so
she
was kind of like
he could see the future. So really, like, yeah, well, you know,
yeah, well,
how can they catch you?
He really didn't understand or know if she, you know, felt the same way as he did, because she kept talking about Samir, and she envisioned herself ending up with Samir.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting when she says to Seth, are you, you know, you can see the future. Are you manipulating me to, are you trying to control me?
That was really interesting. Yeah. That was really interesting. But he is.
Yeah. She's wondering, it was a valid concern, I thought. Because
right.
If she knows that he can see multiple versions of what can happen in the next few minutes, and he can also choose an action that will bring about one of those options.
Mm-hmm.
So her concern is like, oh, are you, you know, can you see where we're going, like us being together? And are you going to try to manipulate me to get into bed, you know, to get involved with you? So it was a valid concern, I think, that she had, especially because she knew how she was feeling about him.
Yeah, so many hypotheticals going on, and mm-hmm. her challenging him to make her kiss him, you know?
Exactly.
I just like...
Yeah, and I would be surprised if this wasn't a series, because, you know, this character, Seth, can pretty much become, you know, like a Jason Bourne type.
Well, I know it was a standalone. He does have two books that were series. One was a trilogy, and then there's another one. If you go to StopYourKillingMe.com, you'll see there's five books. That is a series. Everything else appears to be standalone, though.
Well, I'm glad we read it, because I doubt I would have picked it up otherwise.
I like the fact that I've got turned on to another new author.
Yeah, that's always great.
Yeah.
All right. So that's our discussion of Blink of an Eye by Ted Dekker. Thanks to our listeners for tuning in. And as always, please continue to leave us your comments and stay tuned for our next episode. Next time, we'll be discussing The Weight of Silence by Heather Gudenkauf. See you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.